Matt D'Agostino and Wes Chang here on the Juice on the Cues podcast. On a Wednesday morning here, day after Syracuse and Virginia Tech play at the JMA Wireless Dome in the Orange, get an 84-71 victory. And Wes, it was almost the same as we've seen play out the last few games, but Syracuse held its own in the second half, didn't let things get too close, and ended up going on a little run at the end of things to kind of pull away for a 13-point victory. But it's always good when we start these podcasts talking about a Syracuse win as opposed to a loss. Am I right?
Yeah, and Matt, when Syracuse had jumped out to that big lead in the first half, up 45-27 going into intermission, I actually texted our associate editor, Jim Stecholte, who's covering the game for us, and I said that this had all the makings of a close game despite the fact that Syracuse was up 18 at the time. And, you know, like you said, somewhat like the two previous games, the Hokies just hung around. They closed to within 77-69 off that dunk with 4 minutes to go. And I thought, uh-oh, this is when Syracuse gets in a bit of a danger zone. But Mintz responds with that layup and a foul, plus Syracuse just didn't – they bent, but they didn't break. They got enough offense down the stretch to really make this a relatively easy win, which has been pretty rare recently.
Well, we're looking at wins from Syracuse in the last three games now. And going into the half in those three games, they led by 15, by 20, and then again by 18 on Tuesday night. And in the second half, they got outscored by 11 against NC State, by 17 the next time against Notre Dame. And like you said, we're pushing towards that number again in Tuesday night's game, but they only get outscored by 5 in the second half, improved to 14-2 at home now. And Adrian Autry called this maybe their most complete game of the year. What did you like up and down the lineup from Syracuse on Tuesday?
Matt, you have to start with Judah Mintz because, you know, talking to Judah Mintz post-game, this Virginia Tech roster, really one that Syracuse is built to excel against. And their center, Lynn Kidd, 6'10", but not really known as a shot blocker, averaging under half a block a game. And Tim Sullivan from Hokie Haven mentioned this in our last podcast, but Hunter Couture, Sean Padula, really undersized, unathletic guards, relatively speaking, having trouble keeping Mintz in front of them. Mintz took complete advantage of that, 29 points, seeing after the game that they really couldn't stop him. And he was right. You know, I really thought Mintz, Starling, who had 13 points, and Copeland, who had 12, did a really nice job of getting inside. It's really only when they went away from that and settled for jumpers that they allowed the Hokies to get back inside double digits.
We've seen Syracuse be effective when Judah Mintz shoots 4-for-12 from the floor, 5-for-13, 6-for-18. We've seen them be effective when that happens, when he goes 10-for-17 like he did on Tuesday, and a perfect 8-of-8 from the line, as he always is going to get to the line. I think that takes Syracuse to a different level offensively when he's as efficient as he was. I was looking back, they're 8-4 this year when he shoots above 50% for a game. 11-6 when he doesn't. So like I said, they've still been able to find ways to win when he's not shooting that well. But when he is, it certainly is another feather in the cap for the Orange. And I did take a little sneak peek. I know we're months away from this possibly happening, Wes, but I looked. NBA.com had a mock draft in early February, and Tankathon, which updates basically daily in terms of their mock draft and their standings, Mintz was 45th in the selection of the mock draft on NBA.com, not listed at all on Tankathon, but something to keep an eye on. Again, I don't know whether he stays or goes at this point. You seem to think he may stay in college, but may go to another school. It'll be something very interesting. I think it goes a long way to figuring out how good Syracuse is in next season, but we've got a long way to go before we start to worry about those things. This season though, Wes, as it pertains to where Syracuse is in the March Madness bubble conversation, the win helped them move up in the net rankings a little bit. They're up in the KenPom rankings as well, getting into the flirting with success, flirting with the bubble kind of territory. But you found something that illustrates kind of where teams need to be for the most part to get into the tournament based on their net rankings.
Yeah, Matt, here's an interesting couple interesting stats for you via Jim Stecholte. You know, looking back at the last 4 years of the NCAA tournament, the lowest net teams, or I guess the highest net teams, depending on how you want to look at it, to make the dance. So last year, 2023, Pitt was at 67. 2022, Rutgers at 77. 2021, Wichita State at 72, 2020, no one played in the NCAA tournament. And then 2019, St. John's at 73. So those are the, that kind of gives you the range of what Syracuse would need to at least be in the vicinity of to be in that conversation. So Syracuse currently at 82nd in net. And I think to have a legitimate case for the NCAA tournament, they really need to drop that net down another 15 or so spots. So they're matching somewhat what Pitt was last year. They can do that if they hold serve the rest of the season. That's not going to be easy. They can do that if they beat at Louisville, which 206 in net. So Syracuse cannot afford a quadrant three loss at this time of the season. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. High noon comes at Clemson on the road to close the season. They win these two games. I think their net is going to be somewhere in the high 60s or low 70s. And I think they're legitimately back in the NCAA tournament conversation heading into that ACC tournament.
I would argue that a loss against Louisville hurts Syracuse more than a win against Clemson does help them at this point. But you mentioned the 82 net ranking, 78 now in the KenPom, which is up seven spots since when we last talked about it. So they are creeping up into that territory. And that Clemson game will be very decisive in how this season may turn out for Syracuse. I don't know whether I'd bet on the game, Wes, but I do love betting with my friends, including you, and betting them on anything. Sports games, who's faster? You'd win that one, Wes. Sorry. You got the long legs advantage. It's not my fault. But that's what Cut allows me to do. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states, and Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo. So I don't know what that spread is against Clemson, and I don't know whether we should bet on it or not, Wes, but if you know, we were more inclined to do so, we could use the promo code BELIEVECUSE, that's BLEAVCUSE, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code BELIEVECUSE, and go on and visit Cut and put your money where your mouth is. So, you know, I don't know where my betting allegiances lie. I do know a good friend of mine at work last night was very excited that Syracuse won the first half by at least 2 points. That earned him some cold hard cash. So that's good to see when Syracuse is making others in the world happy as well. But we've got Andrew Cowie, national champion, 2003 Syracuse Orange. And he had a chance to spend some time with the man of the hour from Saturday, Coach Boeheim. We'll talk to him about that visit and what he thinks about this Syracuse team as they head into March here on the other side of the break on the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Back here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Matt D'Agostino and Wes Chang, now joined by Andrew Cowie, 2003 NCAA national champion with the Syracuse Orange basketball team and good friend of the program. Andrew, how are you? Thanks for joining us. And Wes and I want to get right to it. We want the details. You saw Coach Boeheim in Florida on Monday. How did all that come about? What was the conversation like? And how does Coach seem after the big day on Saturday?
Gentlemen, good to talk to you as always. No, it was great to see Boeheim come to Tampa. He's making the Florida tour. It was more of a Syracuse University kind of event versus a Syracuse athletic or basketball event. But it was good to see him, and just you know, he seems a lot more relaxed. I think every time I would see him, if it was during the season, you know, up at practice or just for whatever was going on, you know, the first thing he would always talk about was either the team or this game, or wish this player would do this. You know, because he's just an ultra competitive guy, and that's what his mind's on, is about winning and you know, getting the team or play or a certain player to do what he needs to do to get the team to win. But in this case, it was just really just kind of talking about just chatting about really a variety of things and kind of what he's up to, and just you know, kind of staying busy and staying active. And it seems to be a much more relaxed Boeheim than in years past. So I think he's enjoying the less stress.
Did he mention anything about Saturday, about the whole ceremony, or just how everything kind of played out and the appreciation that everyone showed for him in Syracuse?
He did, yeah. You know, I think it was just, he talked a lot about, I think when it comes back to it, I think he mentioned it's about the players and just seeing players and seeing where they've gone in their lives and how things have played out. And at the end of the day, you rack up so many wins and so many accomplishments, but when you get to see former players and see what they're doing in their lives, you know, family, professionally, I think that gives him a lot of joy just to see that. So, you know, it's funny, he went to go actually to my old high school. You know, he recruited a player that was played with me named Casey Sanders that was a McDonald's All-American, and he was deciding between Duke or Syracuse. And he decided to go to Duke. Boeheim was not happy with my high school basketball coach because I think Boeheim knew he would have been perfect in the zone. And he gave my high school, you know, he talked to him on the phone after Casey made a decision to go to Duke and was not happy on that talk. And I go, I went to Boeheim and said, I heard you went to my high school. Did you give my high school basketball coach a little bit more shit for sending Casey Sanders to Duke? He goes, he would have been perfect in our zone. I go, I know, but you got me instead, so I think it worked out.
That's right. If there was no Casey Sanders, maybe there's no Andrew Cowie at Syracuse. I'd say win for the Orange.
That's right.
Did you get to talk shop with Coach Boeheim at all? You know, I think he still follows Syracuse. You obviously follow Syracuse. Did you guys talk about the current season?
Not too in depth. You know, I think he knows it's like I think we all know each game is important. They're right there. You see it in the team. Like, you know, this is a tournament team. You know that they can get a handful of wins in the tournament. It's just, you know, the chips have to kind of fall right and they got to perform in certain key games. And I think we know what key games those are.
So Syracuse, you know, winning last night, they are now 19-10 on the season, 10-8 in conference. And as you mentioned, they are right on the cusp of, I think, you know, entering back into the NCAA tournament bid process. So Andrew, you know, you played 4 years at Syracuse. You understand kind of the ins and outs in the locker room and the pressure that's involved in it. When you guys were on the cusp and did you look ahead? Because, you know, we hear a lot of coach speak saying one game at a time, but I feel like as a player, you're like, well, if we win the last three games of the season, we can, you know, be up to this ranking and maybe we can make the NCAA tournament. Was there pressure that you guys felt for that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the year before we won the national championship, my sophomore year, and that was Preston Shumpert's senior year, we got off to a really hot start. And then Boeheim had his kind of prostate cancer and things were kind of, you know, the season was going downhill and it was, we're going to be on the bubble. We got to win this game and that game. And that's the year actually we went to the NIT. So every player talks about it. We all know about it. You know, they'll take it one game ahead, but they know that what it's like to be in the tournament, that's where they all want to play. And that's where you get the most exposure and the most fun and where you grow up watching college basketball. So I'm sure it's well talked amongst, maybe not like in a form of in practice, like Adrian, Coach Archie's probably not saying, hey, we got to win this game to get to the tournament. But amongst the players, when you're just eating food or just hanging out, they all know, they all talk about it. It's no big secret.
Was there a guy on your team when those conversations came up? We expect 18 to 22 year olds to kind of let their mind wander into the future, whereas the coaches are trying to just focus on the task immediately at hand. But was there a guy on your teams when those conversations came up that was kind of like the level-headed one, the one of reason, was saying like, guys, like, you know, here's where we are, here's where we could be, but let's not kind of get too far ahead of ourselves? Was there that elder statesman mental kind of guy that kind of put you guys in check outside of the coaching staff?
I think my freshman year, it was Alan Griffin and Damone Brown, right? They kind of ran the team and everyone looked at them as the leaders and really kind of always kept us kind of on the straight and narrow. This, my sophomore year, which was a year with Preston and Deshaun and Billy Selick, and the year we went to NIT, I think that's maybe one of the things we lacked, a little bit of a chemistry issue and a little bit of, you know, Preston, great player on the court, but that just wasn't his just mentality to be that kind of vocal leader. You know, but then going to next year, we won a national championship, you know, Queth, because everyone was so young, we all were kind of looking to Queth and just the way he acted and the way he kind of, you know, just held himself accountable on every, from off the court and on the court, you know, he was that kind of perfect guy to really just, you know, lead us in the right path. So, you know, a lot of, you know, chemistry is always talked about on teams, and it really does matter a lot, because, you know, I've seen it both ways. And when you just don't have it, the right fit and chemistry amongst the team, it can affect, you know, it can cost a couple of wins for sure.
I wanted to end it on this one for me, Andrew. Looking at Saturday with Coach Boeheim's ceremony, we saw all the players, the former players coming back, and seeing all of the faces, it was literally a timeline sitting there in the stands watching Coach Boeheim, and you could go through the beginning of his career all the way through present day and see the guys that have impacted the program, but have also been impacted by Coach Boeheim. When you get a chance to be in those environments as a former player, what does that feel like to you, being amongst all of the great players that have come through the Syracuse program?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing, right? I think Boeheim's talked about how just that Syracuse basketball community is just so big and so passionate, right? Anywhere I go, I mean, if I wear a Syracuse shirt in the grocery store, 90% of the time someone, you know, they don't know who I will walk on. They don't know, you know, it's not like I'm Carmelo Anthony walking through Publix, right? So they're just, but they just say, hey, go.
Got that ring though, baby. Don't let them take that away from you.
You know, they always say go Cuse. And, you know, it's probably one of the big things also why, you know, I've continued to support, you know, donate and be part of the Legend Society in terms of Syracuse athletics and Syracuse basketball, because of how much it's helped me even just in business, right? Just going out to dinners and business with clients, right? They always say, hey, you don't want to talk about work at these dinners. What do they all want to talk about? They want to talk about Coach Boeheim, and they want to talk about Syracuse, and they want to stories about Carmelo and that. So it just reaches so many different levels than just the basketball level, and the passion of that community and the icons that have played there. You know, I'm very grateful and very lucky that, you know, things worked out for me in terms of being a part of an iconic program.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes with us to talk about the current team, Jim Boeheim, and everything that's going on behind the scenes at Syracuse basketball. Andrew, we always really appreciate it. 2003 national championship to the Juice Online senior college basketball analyst, Andrew Cowie. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Always appreciate it.
Well, you're stuck with just Wes and I after having Andrew Cowie on the podcast. We apologize for that. Andrew, always a good conversation here talking Syracuse hoops. But we wrap things up here with a look at the ACC standings, Wes, and Syracuse with the win Tuesday against Virginia Tech. Now in sixth, up from eighth in the ACC standings. And there's still an outside chance mathematically they can crack the top three even. But if they were to stay in sixth place after the last two regular season games, they would face the winner of the 11-14 matchup in the first round, which right now is Boston College and Georgia Tech. Considering Georgia Tech has beaten Syracuse already, maybe Boston College the better matchup there. But if Syracuse wins their first game, if all of this holds true, they would move on to the quarterfinals to take on Virginia, who beat Syracuse handily in the ACC opener this year, but has lost three of four. Their offense has almost completely disappeared. We know their defense is always good, but they played a lot of low-scoring games as of late. So maybe, just maybe, the ACC tournament bracket breaking fairly well for Syracuse as we move into March.
Yeah, Matt, to kind of play out the scenarios here, I think it's more likely, given that Virginia is playing at least two winnable games, and starting at Boston College, they should probably win that game to lock up that number three seed. But I think the four seed is definitely in play right now because, Syracuse, 10-8, as I mentioned before, Clemson is 10-7. So that matchup on Tuesday to end the season may be the deciding factor in whether Syracuse goes in as a 6-5 or a four seed. So, a lot riding. Again, I think that game is high noon for an NCAA tournament bid. So we'll have to see what happens there. Matt, I wanted to talk a little Syracuse women's basketball. You know, there's all this talk about Caitlin Clark breaking the NCAA women's all-time scoring record, deservedly so, but wanted to talk a little De'Aisha Fair, because on Sunday, Fair moved into fifth place on the all-time scoring list. 23 points as number 17 Syracuse rallied past Pittsburgh for the win. She passed Brittany Griner for the fifth all-time spot. And the only players ahead of her at this point are Clark, Jackie Stiles, Kelsey Mitchell, and Kelsey Plum. I'd say that's pretty good company to be in. So just a wow moment to see Fair cementing herself as one of the all-time greats in college women's basketball.
Yeah, we've seen her leapfrog a few women over the course of this season to get to that spot. So anytime you're moving past Brittany Griner in a basketball stat, you're not doing too badly for yourself. So good to see that for DeAsia. Wes, good to see you once again in the flesh via Zoom, any other way we can do it. But we want to thank Andrew Cowie. Great guest as always. We'll see what happens when Syracuse takes on Louisville on Saturday. And we will officially be in the month of March the next time we talk Syracuse hoops, Wes. And as we all know, it is the best time of the year for college basketball. For Wes, I'm Matt. You've been listening on the Believe Network and on Rivals to the Juice on the Cuse podcast. We appreciate it.